Lynn Fraser is going to help your finances get into shape. Financial Fitness with Lynn Fraser on Family Radio CHRI.
Good morning and welcome to the Financial Fitness Show with Lynn Fraser. And this morning I have my good friend and colleague David Van Hoppen. I wasn't quite sure what I was going to call you, David.
Just don't call me late for supper.
So welcome. Welcome to the listeners and welcome to you, David. This morning, I'm excited because we're going to go on a journey, and it's actually a journey we've been on before. Mm-hmm. It's not a new journey for us, and it's probably not a new journey for the listeners, but I realize that it's been some time since we've actually taken the time to go back through the steps to freedom. Mm-hmm. And it's time we did that again. So this morning, we're going to begin that journey and kind of reiterate what are those steps to financial freedom that's available to all of us. It's available to all of our listeners, regardless of your starting place. They're available to move forward into freedom. So I'm excited about that. We want to hear from you this morning.
Yes, we do. All of you, not just me, but all of the listeners. To, you know, this is a call-in show, right? So
right.
Love to hear from the listeners about just where they're at in their own journey, maybe some questions that they may have.
Yeah, so if you have made a change of direction or there has been something that's prompted you to do things differently, to say, now is the time I'm going to become free, then we want to hear from you. What was that motivation to get you to take that first step? So the phone number here is 613-247-1886. Again, that's 613-247-1886. You can send an email to financialfitness@chri.ca, and you can follow us on Twitter. At Lynn Fraser MTE. So
there you go. Lots of ways to get a hold.
Lots of ways to get a hold. We want to talk to you this morning. So
good. And I think it's really important, you know, what you just said, that you know, we're all on our journey, but there often is a key event or a key something catalyst, and we'll call it that gets people started. We talk about in the financial fitness seminar often, you know, there's three motivators. You know, there's pain, there's pleasure, and there's purpose. Sometimes the catalyst is I'm in pain financially. Sometimes it's I want to experience pleasure. You know, I haven't been on a holiday in 18 years, and I'd really like to. That means maybe the reason I haven't been on a holiday is I need to change my financial situation, or I'd like to give more. So there's always a catalyst there that begins to get the ball rolling. But really, and Lynn, we have often discussions about this, is, you know, when it comes down to it, it is purpose that keeps us, you know, what really is motivating us over the long term to make the changes, those vital changes in how we think and how we act about money. Because, you know, there's the thinking part, which is good. The education part, learning stuff, reading the books. We love that. But there's also the change that we need, the habits that we need to change, there's belief, but then there's the real practical, I need to make some changes in how I'm spending money so that I can accomplish the purpose that God has really set out for me.
And really, that is the first step, is understanding what is the big why? Mm-hmm. What is the reason for change? Because until you grapple with that, until there's a reason for change, I mean, our human condition is just to carry on the way we've been before. Mm-hmm. And we could just all be normal, just like everybody else does, and then we could all be broke, right? So that's because normal is broke. Normal's in debt in our world now. So you have to have a good reason. There has to be a catalyst that says, this is my big why. This is why I am willing to do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really the first step.
And you know, a big part of that is because we're in this environment where credit is so easy, credit is normal, credit is, you know, it essentially, in quotes, helps us to achieve what we want to achieve. That's the norm. And so by saying, you know what, I don't want to go in debt. I don't want to live there. And not really having the experience of living debt-free, maybe, or not knowing what that actually feels like, and always thinking, well, if I live debt-free, I can't do anything. Because that again is one of the common, I would say, lies that's out there from marketing and media is you absolutely have to go into debt to be able to enjoy life at all, because, well, that's just the way it is, right?
And the truth is, we are speaking to primarily a Christian audience, mm-hmm. and still we have people approach us on a regular basis that are Christians that do follow the Bible, but in the churches and in their Christian experience, they don't understand that borrowing money is not biblical.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there's a learning, and yes, there's a practicality, and there's things that we need to put in motion, and it all comes down to what is your big why? Mm-hmm. Why are you willing to change? Are you willing to change because the pain is too great and you're tired of being stuck in the trap? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to do things differently because you want some pleasure? Are you willing to do things differently because God's got created you with a plan and a purpose for your life? And it may be a combination of all of those things. But the key is to understanding that I need to change. I need to change now. And I'm willing to take the first step.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'll just qualify, you know, debt actually is biblical.
Yeah, but it's biblically bad.
but really, what you're saying is, you know, anytime that the Bible talks about debt, the Bible is saying it's dangerous. Like, watch out for this, because, again, God came. We wanted to talk about freedom this morning and make sure, but that's the reason Christ came, and God's heart is to help us and to see us walking in freedom. And so when he talks about debt, he's saying, wait a minute. Debt is the opposite way. It's the opposite direction of freedom. It is. It leads to slavery. So, and that's why the Bible's so clear on the idea that debt leads to slavery, and that the freedom that Christ offers and that God wants us to live in is free from debt, all kinds of debt, and that means financial as well as emotional and spiritual and all these other areas. Of course, this is the financial fitness, so we're focusing on the financial part. And knowing that, not just in our heads, but also in our actions, knowing that and recognizing that, wait a minute, if I go into debt, I'm on a road that leads to slavery. If I'm resisting that, if I'm saying, you know what, I'm going to wait with this purchase, not go into debt for it, and see how God works, that's where we see the fun stories where God says, you know, I waited, I didn't go into debt, and somehow, whatever it was, either I didn't need it or God supplied it in a way that I didn't have to go into debt. But, you know, we see that all the time. We see those and hear those stories as well. So
the first step is to know that you need to do something, to understand that there is a reason to do something different. Mm-hmm. And we're going to cover very quickly all the other steps in the process. But really, once you know there is a why for you, your next step is to come to a financial fitness workshop.
For sure.
They're done once a month. There is no cost. It will take you through the steps in detail. And actually, they can be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. We usually have fun.
So. The people that come have fun. So it's done once a month. We'd be certainly happy to have you come and bring people that you care about and mm-hmm. learn how to take the steps and apply it to your own life.
And they're always on the fourth Thursday. So, you know, if you miss it this month, there's one on the fourth Thursday of August. There's one on the fourth Thursday of September. They're always on the fourth Thursday. We don't move them around. We try not to move them around because we want to create that consistency. So, you know, hey, if it's the fourth Thursday, I should be at a financial fitness seminar with one of my best friends.
There you go. So you can find all the details on morethanenough.ca. Mm-hmm. All the event details are there. So we're looking forward to having you come out. Cool. So I would do want to briefly cover the other steps.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they're covered in detail in the workshop. So after you know what your big why is and you know you need to do something, then you need to face your current reality. What mm-hmm. is your starting place? Financial awareness creates empowerment. You need to face your current reality. Mm-hmm. And so that comes with gaining an understanding of what's coming in, what's coming out, where it's going, and so that you're able to establish a plan for the future.
Yeah, you got it. You just got to know. And it is definitely one of the difficult parts of the process. Is you know, we are constantly facing, because it's not static. Our financial situation is always dynamic. It's always changing and moving. And that's one of the principles. It's one of the habits that we will get into is we're constantly facing it. We're constantly being honest with ourselves and honest with our spouse and saying, do we have enough? Do we not have enough? You know, let's plan what we spend and spend what we plan. And so when we face that and we actually honestly kind of have that interaction over and over and over, it's one of the habits that needs to come into play here. Because we so often just want to avoid it, right? Stick our heads in the sand and say, oh, we'll figure it out later. The bill will come in at the end of the month, whatever it is, right?
So step number one is know what your big why is. Step number two is to face reality. Step number three, then, is to create an emergency cushion. So a part of that facing reality is knowing how much you need to live on, creating a plan to do that, and then finding some room. Step number three is to find some room in that plan to create an emergency cushion.
That's right. You need to create some margin, spend less than you make. And by doing that, you create some extra space in your finances so you can, first of all, create the emergency cushion and then maintain the emergency cushion, because the emergency cushion is what keeps you from going back to credit when life happens, right? Life is going to happen. Can't plan at all. We need some buffer. We need some margin. We need a way to maintain that.
Okay. Step number four, then, is to get out of debt.
Yes.
To pay off all debt. And so that's a step-by-step process that we will teach in the workshop. And it's using a snowball method. And you know what? It's amazing. It goes a whole lot faster than what you think. The average person, regardless of the starting place, will pay off all of their debt, including their home, in 12 to 15 years by following the process. So that's the next step.
Next step, obviously getting out of debt. And then after that, what do you do as you've paid off all that debt? Because you're giving that money away to financial institutions. It's leaking out to interest. You don't really see it. But when you've paid off debt, you all of a sudden look and go, whoa, we got money left over. Like, we've got something. So next step is to fully fund your emergency cushion 3 to 6 months in some sort of liquid savings, right? It needs to be a liquid savings because, again, what if the roof needs to be replaced? It's for those bigger life emergencies. And it's also for the things you can plan for. I need to buy a car in 2 years. Okay, let's put that money aside in our liquid emergency cushion, right? So 3 to 6 months in a liquid savings account. Can be a TFSA, can even be some sort of investment, but needs to be liquid.
So there are still a few more steps we want to cover, but we want to hear from you this morning. The phone number is 613-247-1886. Give us a call and tell us about what you've done, what has caused you to say, today's the day I'm going to make a change. Today's the day I'm going to step forward. What's your big why? And so let's go back to our steps.
So step number, what are we on, four? I guess we're on number four.
We did number four, get out of debt. Step number five was to build a bigger emergency cushion, a fully funded emergency cushion. Number six is then
pay off the mortgage,
save more for your future.
Right.
Or a balance of those two things.
Exactly. So there's a number of things that happen now, right? So you can pay off the mortgage and get totally out of debt. You may have kids that are going to university and you're saying, okay, we need to create some savings, or maybe we want to help them a little bit. Or maybe you need to now be saying, we never really saved money because we were always in debt, and we need to think about retirement or think about those times where we're going to need to save up some money. So you begin to focus on the savings component, the longer term out there, right? So,
and then step number seven is give more.
Absolutely.
I love it because there's seven steps. Seven is the number of completion. We're done now. So
we're done.
So
one of the things I'll throw in there, Lowell, in kind of between these last two steps is the idea that you have to answer the question, how much is enough, right? So, you know, how much do you save? And that's a really, we're not going to tackle that today, but the idea there is you need to know as you pay off your debt and you get out of debt, you're saying, if you don't answer that question, then the answer will be more. And then when it goes to becoming generous, when we start to say, well, I want to give some money away, then you're going, well, maybe not that much. Or
there is great freedom in knowing how much is enough.
Absolutely.
There really is a tremendous amount of freedom in that. And it does allow you to be generous.
And that does start way back at step one, where we're deciding our big why. But it really comes into play here at the end in step five, six, and seven, where you're saying, how much do I need to save for my retirement? Not based on what maybe the world tells you, but what God's telling you.
So we've done an overview of the steps. If you want to work through those in detail, we do encourage you to come to the Financial Fitness Workshop. Mm-hmm. We want to hear from you this morning. The number is 613-247-1886, or you can email us at financialfitness@chri.ca. We'd love to take your questions, and we'd love to hear from you as to what's your catalyst to move forward. But we do have some email questions, so let's tackle some of those, David. So the first one is, I think I need to do something, but how do I know I need to do something? What are some of the warning signs that my debt's gotten out of hand? Well, there's all kinds of warnings. One of the first warning signs is that you're stressed. And if you're asking the question in itself, that's probably a sign that you need to do something.
Yeah, and I guess the obvious practical one is if every month you're carrying a balance on your credit card, if you can't pay the credit card off every month, then, well, that's a sign, right? If your plan to buy your next car is to borrow all the money, well, I'm not so sure that's a good plan. There are different plans. We need to figure that out. So, you know, just even the fact that you've essentially resigned yourself to the fact that debt is part of your financial picture, that's a sign that says, oh, no, it doesn't have to be. You know, you mentioned it earlier. In 12 years, most people can pay off all their debt and their house. But our financial institutions are having us on 25-year amortizations. We're comfortable with the idea of owning our house or paying off our house over 25 and 30 years.
And we will pay out between $450,000 and $750,000 mm-hmm. in interest. So yeah. Can you imagine if you just changed your thinking and changed how you make those purchases, you would have an additional $450,000 minimum available for you, your family, your giving, for your purpose, right?
Yeah.
So I think $450,000 is a good reason to think differently.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know, and I think the other statistic that we often talk about is people pay for their house three times over the course of owning their house. Well, two of those are actually, you know, one of them is the cost of the house, the other is the interest, and the third is the number of times you consolidate. We could capture that money and get the house paid off in 12 years or 15 years, depending on it. So.
Exactly. So the next question is, do you recommend having multiple bank accounts for each big ticket item, such as mortgage, education, emergency cushion, etc.? Yeah, I think that's a good strategy. There are certain accounts out there where you can have it automated, what they take from your regular checking account and like I was going to say an ING, it doesn't exist anymore, but those other guys.
Tangerine.
those fruity things.
The tangerine.
You can create an account that you can divide into different pockets or different parcels. So they'll automatically take the money out of your regular account, put it into your car account, your education account. Sure, there's all kinds of ways to do that. In fact, there's books that are written about, you know, I think there's a book called The Automatic Millionaire that would suggest that that's a really good idea.
Yeah, automate your life. I mean, and I'm a big fan of that because, you know, we learn to live on the cash that we have available. So if we leak that cash out to places that we intentionally need, you know, like the, you know, if you don't have a dental plan, you know, then you need to be putting every paycheck, some money aside for dental and, you know, taxes and a whole bunch of other ways. Just having that money leak right out as soon as your paycheck hits the bank account in small amounts, you don't even notice it.
And it's so freeing. Mm-hmm. It's so freeing that when you have a need come up, you already know that it's already met.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like God.
And that's the same with, you know, you're purchasing a car. We all know that eventually you're going to buy a car. We should be leaking some money out for our next car purchase.
So we would love to hear from you this morning. The number is 613-247-1886. Call in and tell us how you tackled your debt and became free. The next question we have is, do you have a book that I can use to help me with my debt rather than coming to a seminar? Well, there's lots of books out there. Ken Decker,
I think they're asking whether you're going to write a book.
Yes. Do I have a book? Okay, so no, not yet. But I do. There is a book in me. There is a book coming. It's just not yet published. So Ken Decker has a book called The Wealth Formula that actually...
does walk through the steps.
It does walk through the steps very well. In fact, that came as a result of a lot of the financial fitness seminars that Ken and I did together. So it does cover the steps really well. And it is a simple read, and it's available at Salem.
There you go.
So there you go. So yes, there is books.
Lots of resources. I mean, Steve Rolston and I from Resource Freak a few weeks ago talked about tons of resources that we really, really enjoy. So if you haven't heard that show, play the show, and listen to some of those resources.
Yeah, there's lots. There's no shortage of teaching, right? There's no shortage of information. But the reason that More Than Enough came into being was understanding that teaching doesn't solve it. It's only a piece of the puzzle. And
For sure.
Action that you need.
Yep.
Okay, so the next question is, where does tithing exist in the seven steps? And is it part of step seven, give more? Oh, actually, it starts well before that. So,
where does tithing exist? We talked about creating margin. I mean, and we talk about resources. You know, going back to the Bible is really all of the books that are written, any great financial principle really finds its source in the Bible. It's God's word, of course. You know, that's foundational, and we neglected to mention that, but for sure, the tithing is part of the whole process. We need to have our finances done God's way to produce, to even get margin, to create that, to be able to trust Him. Absolutely, right? So stewardship, and we've talked about that in other shows in detail. But for sure, tithing, giving, is part of the character of God, and it's part of the character of how God wants us to spend His money. So starts way back at the beginning when we talk about what's the purpose. Well, maybe our purpose is to be living on 10% of our income and giving 90%. But we're starting at living on 90 and giving 10. Okay, that's great.
That's a great start.
It's a good start.
In the financial awareness creates empowerment. When you're creating your spending plan, our intent is that the tithing goes in first. That's your first. Mm-hmm. That's your first line item, and then the rest will fall into place after. So yes, it is in the plan. So next question: how much of an emergency do we need for an emergency cushion? In other words, how much is enough? Well, we know there's more than enough, but...
Yeah, so, I mean, as we look at that, the emergency cushion is simply, it is, and I like to use the picture of, margin around the outsides of a piece of paper. We write in the middle. All of our life kind of happens in the middle, but we need to create that margin around the outside just in case we need a little extra space. So at the beginning, when you have debt, we only want $500 to $2,000 in emergency cushion, depending on your household. Do you have two cars, and do you own the house, and do you have five kids, and all of those? Or are you just a single person living in an apartment who doesn't have a car? Well, then you really only need, your emergency may only be a $500 emergency max. The point there is to create some margin. You have to figure out what's good for you so that you can intentionally and focus on the debt and get rid of the debt. And then, as we talk about, 3 to 6 months is your fully funded emergency cushion. And again, that's preparing for the future. That's planning ahead. By that time, we're thinking about those bigger things that need to be purchased or bought or could potentially, what happens if the furnace blows up? Well, I've got $10,000 in the bank account. I'm good. Right?
So. Yeah. Awesome. We have time for one more question here, and it's, is it okay to use credit cards for the points? Do you really endorse them? And yet points, when points can get you free stuff. So what do you think? And we, yeah. What do you think, David?
You know,
I know what I think.
You go first.
I think that there's always a big caution when you use plastic of any kind. And so if you're using plastic and you have already determined how much you're going to spend so that you're not buying on impulse, then it's okay to use your credit card if it's being paid off each month and you're not overspending. The challenge with credit, plastic of any kind, is that statistics say we spend 18% more on everything because mm-hmm. it's on plastic. Mm-hmm. And so...
And I was gonna, you know, I was gonna give the challenge out to the client or to the listeners, and just say, you know what, try it without the plastic, and let's see if you save the 18%. Because you know, again, there's way the credit card makers, the banks, they know our propensity to overspend. To let's make it super easy so you can spend more. So that there's a lot of mind stuff that goes sure. on behind that. But the reality is do a test. Take 3 months cash only and see how it affects your life.
Okay. So our show is almost done, David.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Our time has gone quickly, at least from this end, it has. I hope it's gone quickly in that end, too. Yeah. We do want to take time and pray, as we always do at the end of a show. We want a reminder to the listeners that there is an upcoming seminar on the fourth Thursday of every month. This month, it's on July 24th. It's in the evening at 6:30 to 8:30. And you can get all the details on morethanenough.ca and contact us and register for mm-hmm. for the workshop. We encourage you to come and bring those that you care about to come as yeah. well. So we want
share
to-
the show. We're on Facebook. The same thing is there. We're on Twitter. I mean, if you punch in More Than Enough, you're going to find us somewhere. And if you can't, what's the phone number of the office?
613-520-4157. That's 613-520-4157. So, Father, we just thank you that you are clearly at work. And you have plans and purposes for our lives. And you have plans and purposes for the lives of every listener. Lord, you know where they're going. You know what they're doing. And you know where it is that you want to lead them. So, Father, would you bring them into alignment with your plans and purposes for their lives? Help them to know what it is they need to do next. And give them the courage, the strength, and the courage and the strength to take the next steps. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. You can check out Steve Ralston's episode online on the podcast. You can find it at morethanenough.ca, and he'll talk about all the resources that are available because there's lots
Ryan's
of them.
Ryan's show last week. All the shows are on morethanenough.ca. So
Ryan Decker's show last week in mm-hmm. terms of preparing for your future as a student.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
A great show. Yeah.
It was a great show. So have a listen and come back again. And so we look forward to spending time with you next week on the Financial Fitness Show, and have an amazing day filled with hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. God bless.